Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, August 8th, 2021.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of our Lord. Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, it is good to see you all here on this hot and sunny summer day. But I have to ask, where's everyone else? Oh, that's right. The dog days of August are here, aren't they? And now families are making that final rush, intent upon squeezing in just one more trip before a new school year brings this summer to a screeching halt. And even as the Delta variant rears its ugly head, I'm pretty confident that remote learning will largely be a thing of the past. Kids prepare to return to the classroom, as do teachers. And of course, parents now breathe a sigh of relief. But not me. You see, I'm a selfish parent. My daughter spent all of last year pursuing her studies at home, in a space that had been hastily converted into an ad hoc dorm room. Adapting to online instruction was no easy task, to be sure, but Sarah did exceedingly well. Of course, with that said, she hated every moment of it. But me, I loved it. And why? I'm a selfish parent who enjoys the great comfort of having my daughter close by during one of life's more challenging times. But of course, now she'll be headed back to campus in just a few short weeks. While taking inventory of all the items that needed to be packed and moved with Sarah, I unexpectedly had a flashback to a day several years ago when Linda and I delivered that college freshman to campus for the very first time. Now, what do I remember about that day? Well, first of all, even a Lutheran pastor is capable of crying. Sarah standing outside her dorm room waving as we drove away. And Linda and I already counting the days until she would return home for Thanksgiving break. And as we drove through the town that surrounded the campus and looked at all the crowded bars already overflowing with college students, we wondered to ourselves, did we do a good enough job? Had we taught her enough about the perils of this fallen world in which we have lived? Will she take to heart the example we tried to set for her? Had we done right by our daughter? And as we were returning home, it struck me. What concerns the majority of parents is getting their children into that right university, that recognized institution, which will prepare their student to excel in their chosen vocation. I certainly recall that emphasis during our own parent-teacher orientation. And the parents who surrounded me seemed truly delighted by all they heard. But again, not me. I was admittedly skeptical. As I observed their enthusiastic response, I recalled thinking to myself, had they prepared their children for the world in which they were about to enter? Were these kids equipped to survive in environments that are largely opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ? I guess I'll ask this question. Had their parents given them the necessary orientation by raising them faithfully here in the church? By attending worship with them every week, by setting a godly example for them in their home every day, by making sure their kids were equipped to stand strong against the spiritual forces of evil that are all around us. Had those parents taken time to find a good church near the campus? Or had those parents invested themselves solely in cultivating that attitude in their kid, which stresses the importance of earthly success and achievement. Earthly success and achievement above all else. You see, there's prestige, there's fame, there's fortune, recognition, notoriety, having it all and being it all. That is what the world covets. That's what the worldly wants. But that's not the attitude which Paul describes in his letter to the congregation in Ephesus. Paul speaks of an attitude which is not consumed with having everything that this life has to offer. You see, that kind of attitude is called living as the Gentiles do. Those who choose to live in spiritual darkness and apart from God because of their hardened hearts. Now, in Paul's letter, Gentile means that way of life or attitude of someone who does not truly belong to the one true God. Today we call that being worldly as opposed to being godly. And of course, we all know about worldliness, don't we? Worldliness earns the world's public acclaim and attention. But with that said, worldliness is not pleasing to God. And that's why worldliness and godliness could not be more further apart. Worldliness centers on oneself. Godliness centers on God. Worldliness works for earthly gain. Godliness works for God and trusts in his provision. Godliness seeks to understand the will and to do the work of God. And what is that work? Jesus tells us. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. My friends, the attitude that is found in this world is an attitude of unbelief. It is an attitude that offers no thanks, no regrets, or no apologies for living an ungodly life. It is an attitude like that of Pharaoh, who refused to free the people of God, even as one plague after another affected the people of Egypt. Pharaoh refused to listen to God's servant Moses. Pharaoh would not listen to the word of the Lord. Pharaoh would not obey the Lord. Pharaoh was captive to his own sinful pride and desires. Now, we all recall that story, I'm sure, and perhaps we think of Pharaoh, wow, what an attitude. My friends, that's a very common attitude today. That's the way of the world. A way that rejects God's ways. A way that ignores God's warnings. Worldliness, expressing itself in ways that spit in the face of God. Pursuing all sorts of self-gratification, all sorts of desires, immorality of every kind. Acting out in hatred toward those who love and trust in God. And doing so without a trace of shame or remorse. And that, my friends, is worldliness. Worldliness promises that you will be free and fulfilled when you succumb to your feelings and follow your deepest desires, no matter how unfaithful or ungodly or depraved they may be, when each impurity only leads us to a greater hunger and lust for more. And that's because worldliness is a bottomless pit, a pit which leaves us miserable. When we finally come to learn that our selfish desires provide no lasting satisfaction or peace whatsoever. We need true peace. And true peace can only come from outside of ourselves, certainly not from this world. And that means it comes from God and God alone. And that peace is derived from an attitude that is oriented toward God and desires the pure and unconditional love which only he can give to sinful human beings. Just like me and you. My friend, how great is God's love for you? So great that it led him to subject himself to the worst of our worldliness. Jesus suffered under our worldliness. He bled under it and he died under it. And then Jesus rose above it all. Jesus conquered all worldliness. And now he reigns over the world and over us. And he lifts you up above it all. That is, of course, my friends, if you want to be lifted up and you want your children to be lifted up. And you want to be lifted up, don't you? Don't you desire the true peace which only God can give in a broken world full of despair, disorder, and dysfunction? Then you must hear his call and you must get serious. Get serious, my friends. Recall what Jesus said to his disciples. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. I have chosen you from out of the world, and the world hates you. And yes, it's true because the world hates God. And if you love God, it will hate you as well. But my friends, if you are a true believer in Christ, that does not matter because true Christians are not of this world. And God calls upon you to embrace that attitude by which his son lived and died. So that you might live and die and rise to everlasting glory with him. And that means you must repent of your sins. Repent of them daily. Daily recall the mercies of God. Recall what you have learned when you first came to know Jesus. And continue to be filled with Jesus. And raise your children and your grandchildren to follow him. and to have a godly attitude in this ungodly world. You are to teach them the ways of the Lord. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, baptismal sponsors, guardians, this is your task, and your task is great. My friends, don't give in to what we call the old Adam, to that old sinful attitude which says, hey, there's nothing to be concerned about. They're great kids. They're doing well in school. They're respectful. You know what? They're going to be just fine. Someday they'll return to church. Someday they'll return to Jesus. Will they? Are you really sure about that? Is that what God says? Parents and grandparents, great-grandparents and guardians, God says this. The responsibility is yours to plant the seed of the word of Christ. And that seed can only grow when it is watered and cultivated by teaching the Bible in your home, by praying them together with them together, by bringing them to worship each and every week, and teaching them to seek God's will in their lives. I mean, we love our kids, right? You're concerned about your child's physical health, aren't you? And you certainly want your kids and your grandkids to have a good and wonderful future, right? Fellow Christians, what future exists for the most successful of children who lives apart from the word and grace of God? Don't convince yourself that your child's spiritual care is the responsibility of a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a Christian counselor. If parents and grandparents don't fulfill their spiritual responsibility to their offspring, if we don't teach our kids to walk in the way of the Lord and to do it faithfully, then the world is going to teach them its way, and the world is going to have its way with them. And God forbid, for if that happens, my friends, it's on you. It is God who has given you children and entrusted children to your care, and not just their physical care. And therefore, in everything, you must model the love of God and Christ to them. You must live your life in ways that is an example of obedience to God and love for the neighbor. You must put off the ways of this world, and you must be filled with the goodness of God. You must let your words be seasoned and pure with the grace of God. With all that said, I invite you to get serious. Let's get serious. Let's get serious about the Word of God. Let's get serious about coming to church and coming every week. Let's get serious about inviting our kids to join us and make sure they're there. Let's be serious about getting our kids into a Bible class each week and setting a good example for them, adults, by doing the same. Let's get serious about teaching the catechism to our kids, and not just in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, but when they are little and learning it again with them. Let's get serious about family devotions in our homes and around our tables. You see, God gives us a great challenge, but we have been given much as the people of God. And therefore, God gives us this time to put off the old self and to put on the new, being made new in the attitude of our minds. So, let's work on that attitude, shall we? Let's work on it together, here in our church and in our homes, so that we can raise up another generation that knows the difference between godliness and worldliness. Let's get serious in seeking of what God desires of us, and that is to be his faithful children, us and our children and our grandchildren, here on earth, and one day by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ in heaven. And let's get serious now, knowing that right now is the time, and that God will be with us now as we learn and grow in the new attitude of Christ. Let's get serious, my friends, and let's get serious together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.